Welcome to episode 2 of the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm your host, Greg Johnson, and today is Thursday, April 30th, 2020. Today's topic is going to be internet service providers, how to choose which one is right for you. I'm in the Iowa City area, so that's kind of the focus that I'm going to have for today's show, but whatever I share should be applicable for the most part to wherever you live. So in Iowa City, we have two primary internet service providers that have dominated the market for many years, and they are CenturyLink, which has roots going back as a phone company, used to be called Quest. And the other company is Mediacom, which is a cable TV company. And, you know, as time went on, originally the cable TV companies and the telephone companies began providing internet service at different speeds, and those speeds have gotten faster over the years. So what we find as a challenge, and certainly what has been a challenge, is just relating to the delivery of the service and the technology that's used. So a cable TV company typically would use a cable that comes into your home. That cable is pretty thick copper cable or aluminum, I suppose, and the shielding around it allows it to have a very good signal that doesn't have much interference, and it's very protected, you know. So on the other hand, the telephone companies that are providing internet, other than the ones that are delivering it using fiber or some other method, those telephone companies are typically using traditional copper phone wires, right? And those might be less ideally suited for delivering a modern day digital internet signal. The copper wires, while they've in some cases been around for, you know, maybe 100 years or something, a home's going to have some old wiring in it from old phone lines. They don't have shielding. There can be what's called crosstalk or crossover, where an adjacent wire will be emanating some signal that's getting picked up by those phone wires. So what we've traditionally found is that the cable TV companies have been able to deliver faster internet just because of the wires that are delivering that service, that they are sort of better or more suited. And and perhaps part of that has something to do with the signal strength and the boosting of that signal strength. So sometimes you'll talk to a phone company about internet service because you've seen on their website, like just yesterday I was looking at the CenturyLink website, and they say they can deliver 100 megabit per second download speeds for $50 a month. Well, that sort of depends on where you live in the city. So if you're far away from their distribution point or junction box or whatever, the signal may not be strong enough or adequate for those high speeds. And you might just get 20 megabit per second or 12 or something. There are people who live further out in rural areas where that signal quality might be even worse. So you always want to talk to the company ahead of time and find out for your specific address before they get this all installed and you're paying, you know, can they actually deliver high-speed internet? And so in the Iowa City area, and I would include Coralville, North Liberty, and surrounding small towns, you will find that much of the area is not covered where there will not be very nice high-speed internet if you're going with a phone company. Another company in the area, if you do get into the rural areas, would be South Slope. They offer DSL. They're a phone company. And they would also be encountering some of these technical obstacles, although some of the customers who are South Slope customers that I've worked with do have fairly good internet. And in some areas, if you're getting close to Cedar Rapids, they might be able to deliver fiber to your home or business. Okay, so what, now you have sort of the landscape of what the companies are that are out there. And I want to mention also, there is a provider out of Cedar Rapids called IMON, I-M-O-N, that will use the existing phone lines, and I guess they maybe pay a small fee to the owners of those lines, so they might pay to CenturyLink, and then they rebrand that as their own product, and they offer their own customer service and their own equipment, and they would provide perhaps a better service, you know, if they are more attentive and using better technology over those copper wires, you might get a better experience. So there's IMON. And if you live above a coffee shop, and if the business owner of the coffee shop or restaurant or whatever is willing to do so, you might be able to ask them if it's okay to borrow their internet. And you could at least get online, check email, get on the web. Some rental properties in Iowa City, if you have an apartment or even renting a home, whatever the case may be, townhouse, condos, the rental properties in Iowa City often will come with included internet service that you either just use the Wi-Fi that's available for that building, or you might even have an Ethernet port that you can plug into. And another variant on that that I've seen is that the internet's included, but you have to pay for your maybe your cable internet box. And I think part of the reason for that is just that that's kind of become an expectation, and it might be a decision factor for people looking for a place to rent. It's you might think that sounds like a superficial reason for choosing to rent or not rent a property as to whether or not it has free internet. You can always get internet. But anyway, for students, maybe they want to just have everything ready and available. And sometimes if you have internet service provided by a tech-savvy property owner, you'll get some support in with that. You know, if you're having some problem, the property owner might come out and help you a little bit get set up or get some problems fixed with your internet. So those are some options. And then finally, another big provider of internet on it would be the University of Iowa on the university campus. And if you work or live near or on or adjacent to the campus, you may be able to pick up a signal, and there's a guest Wi-Fi network. Now, one thing that, I mean, that sounds great. Like you think, oh, I live above a coffee shop, I can get free internet. There are other things that we do, you know, with internet besides just checking email. There, maybe you want to have a server set up or share some files from one computer to another or have a printer on the network. And there are residential places in Iowa City where people are using the provided internet, but to use their printer, for example, they're on this shared network with a bunch of other people. So now security becomes an issue because you're sharing your printer, but you don't want just random people in the same apartment building printing to your printer because you're all on the same network. More tech-savvy property owners will offer you like a login and a password and your own personal, you know, basically hotspot or access point, so nobody else is on that. And so you would take that information and you would plug that into your printer to get your printer on your own Wi-Fi network. Okay, so, you know, all these scenarios are different and complex. There would be another, which would be, let's say you live in an apartment, internet service is provided, at least Wi-Fi service, and you get your own access point, but it's just internet, and you have equipment that you want to plug into, you know, with an Ethernet cable, with a router. You may even want better speed than what's provided for free. So in those scenarios, you can go with either the phone company, CenturyLink, or with Mediacom, the cable company, and have them provide service. And sometimes your landlord will give you a credit back on your rent because you're not using the primary service. And that makes sense. Maybe it's just $10 or whatever, $20 a month, whatever they're charging, that's bundled in with your rent. But that's something to ask about. So let's say, though, that you're not on campus. You don't live above a coffee shop. Your landlord isn't providing you with internet. You've got to make a decision of what internet to go with. As I said previously, a lot of this depends on where you're located. So if you're close to a CenturyLink junction box or, you know, whatever the hardware is out in the street that you're connecting to, or if you can get fiber service from them, then CenturyLink might be an okay option. Because of their history as a telephone company, what you're going to find is that the telephone companies traditionally did have a support system, and the service vehicles and the technical support workers, you know, the technicians, repair people, they had all of that in place because, of course, phone lines are sort of an essential resource. They have been. And, you know, if somebody needs to dial 911 for some kind of an emergency, you want to make sure their phone line is working. Well, that is why largely these, you know, phone companies that are offering internet have this reputation. It's kind of a holdover from maybe 20 or 30 years ago, but they have this reputation as being the ones that go out and climb up the telephone pole in the middle of, you know, a blizzard in the winter. And that's the reputation they have. So some of that's changed a bit in the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And your results may vary depending on, you know, what kind of service your local company is providing. But an advantage of going with CenturyLink would be if you're able to get the fast connection and if you're able to put up with periodic, occasional disappointments with their service, customer service and tech support, then that might be a good option for you. And the way that DSL works is that in most homes or apartments, you'll find that wall jacks for telephones are more plentiful than would be a wall jack for cable TV. You know, some rooms will have maybe one cable TV jack on the wall, but they might have two phone jacks. Rooms that might not have a cable hookup but would have a phone jack perhaps would be the kitchen in some homes. But my point here is that whatever you already have more of in your business or home, phone jacks or cable TV jacks, you may want to use that as a little bit of your deciding factor of which company to go with, because the modem placement, and of course that would be where your Wi-Fi router is going to be, that can be important for some people who want an easy installation. You want to know that there's already a jack on the wall that you can use. The second factor, though, is with regard to that jack that's on the wall, where does that go to? You know, is it running down into a crawl space or basement somewhere? How far away is the main entry point for the service that's being delivered? And the cable connection or the phone connection, one of those might be better than another. So even though you have generally good service in your area, if you are using cable internet and the cable that comes out your wall has already been through, you know, like three or four different splitters, and the cable quality in the wall isn't very good, there could just be all kinds of problems with intermittent slow speeds and the service dropping out, and then technicians not being able to find where the problem is because it's sort of this rat's nest of cables in there. So that can happen with cable TV or phone, but that's a consideration. So a little bit about cabling. We've talked about it. Pricing, you know, they're pretty similar. Mediacom and CenturyLink are both going to cost you about $50 to get 100 megabit. And there again, assuming it's available through CenturyLink. Mediacom typically is going to offer faster internet on average across the entire city because everybody has, you know, cable service pretty much to their building. And so that's kind of a given. And CenturyLink won't be so much. So the speed can be an issue. It also depends on how many people you have at your business or home that are going to be using the service. So if you have, you know, five or more people, then you can't really look at internet speed as an individual might look at it. So an individual might be getting service and say, oh, well, maybe 20 megabit per second would be fine. Once you have more people and more devices on that network, there's going to be more of a demand placed on the speed at times. So in that case, for many people who are going to have several devices or several people using the service, you may be pushed to use one provider over another just because you have to go with the one that's going to provide you faster service. You'll read about how Mediacom and cable internet companies are giving you a shared service, a shared product that, you know, people in your neighborhood are all going to be using it. So after school, you know, kids come home, they get on the computer, and you're going to notice your internet speed's really slow in the afternoon. I suppose in theory that may have made sense a long time ago, that DSL was a guaranteed flat speed delivered to you that's not going to be shared with anyone else, and that cable is shared in a community. But to some degree, every internet connection is at some point going to reach a bottleneck, and it's going to be a shared connection. Okay, so even the University of Iowa or independent, perhaps larger institutions, at some point their connection to the internet is being shared with someone else. That's what the internet is. It's like everybody sharing the internet. So I wouldn't worry so much about this idea that cable internet service is shared and DSL is dedicated. Let's talk a little bit then about the specifics of how this works. Each company will offer some special deal that's going to last for a year, and then the price is going to jump up, and it could jump up significantly. So right now, Mediacom's offering some deal that's $50 a month for 100 megabit, and then after that, it jumps up to about $80 a month. So really, as you're looking at your long-term 5-year, 10-year cost, you're going to want to just go ahead and calculate based on what it's eventually going to be, and don't make a decision based on some short-term deal that they're offering. And, you know, for those of you who are new to the podcast, you may hear birds in the background, some sort of feet on the forest floor and sticks crackling, you know, in the background, right? So that's the theme of this podcast, is it's a walk and talk. So I'm walking and talking, and maybe you're walking too. And it's a way to get exercise while creating content, and it's a way for people to be encouraged to get out and take a 20-minute walk and listen to a topic of interest or something that they need information on. So that's the noise in the background. And I'm on the deer trails again today. If you listened to last episode, you know that it's been windy for the past few days. So I'm trying to walk on these deer trails that are in the valley with the trees surrounding, and that really helps cut back on that wind noise, which makes it hard to hear what I'm saying if it's blowing against the microphone. I'm just talking into my iPhone. I'm using the Anchor.fm app to record and produce this podcast, and so I don't have my professional gear and microphones. But I wanted to explain that in case you're wondering, why does this guy sound sort of winded and there's noise in the background? Okay, so anyway, basically then, there is no answer that fits everybody. It's going to depend on where physically your home is, what speed can the company provide. The pricing is going to be roughly the same, and you get what you pay for, pretty much. So a lot of this comes down to whether or not you already have a relationship with one of those companies. And not long ago, it would be common for everyone to have cable TV and for everyone to have a landline, to have phone service. And so basically those companies, excuse me, were just adding on this additional service as a way they could make some additional money. And then you, as the customer, would kind of look at what the bundled savings would be. So you already have a phone, you add internet. Instead of paying the full price for the internet, you're going to get a special deal. Or you already have cable TV and you add internet and you're going to get a special deal. Kind of like, you know, having multiple vehicles on your insurance plan. Well, a lot of that's changed, right? So today, people don't have a landline for the most part. And a lot of people don't have or feel a need for cable TV anymore. In fact, smartphones have sort of replaced both of those, that your video watching is through your phone or tablet. Your internet service is through your phone or tablet. Your telephone calls are through your phone or tablet. So, sorry, here we are, you know, halfway into the show, and we're finding out that really you don't need internet at all because you already have it, perhaps. So, you know, for some people, your mobile device may be enough. You could use that as a hotspot if you're not a big content consumer. Some providers of mobile service will offer unlimited streaming Netflix or whatever. You know, they'll entice you with some unlimited streaming that will not cut into your data plan and won't throttle back the speed because of your listening to Spotify or watching movies on Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever. And that's a question that comes up often. People say, oh, well, can I just use my phone as a hotspot? Well, there again, going back to the need that some people have for a physical Ethernet connection for some devices, the phone may not serve everyone's needs. I have a hotspot from AT&T that offers really good internet, fast internet. And the thing I like about it is that it actually has an Ethernet port on it. And there's a little display that tells me how far into my month service cycle I am and how much data I've used, what kind of signal connection is there. It runs on battery or AC with an adapter. So it's a really cool device. And that might serve many people's internet needs if you have light usage. Right now, with a lot of people at home and doing homeschooling and home business, I think a lot of people now are looking at how they can get better bandwidth. They're putting more demand on their home network than ever before. So this is why the question has come up for many people. And in addition to, you know, using your devices as an internet connection, I think what many people find is that if they just go with the internet service alone through either Mediacom or CenturyLink, the cost will be roughly the same. Sometimes I work with people who just have had such a bad experience with one company or another, they've just made up their mind based on that, and that's fine. So I'm going to just check, as I do in these shows, I'm going to check and see where we're at on time. I hope you don't mind the sort of informality of this show. Oh, we're just a few minutes over. So I think I've covered all the necessary kind of topics and information on this for people to make a decision. And I'll review it just in case you got distracted in the middle while I was getting distracted. basically it's consider the wiring. What sort of wiring do you currently have? You probably don't want to pay somebody to install new wiring or run wiring into rooms where it's needed. So that might be a deciding factor right there. If you have a phone line and no cable, or cable and no phone, you may go with the provider that you need to. And cost, as I say, is roughly the same. Customer service is going to vary from one incident to the next, and just depends really on who you get and their responsiveness. You know, when surveys have been done, it turns out that cable TV companies have really, overall, really bad customer service reputation. But, you know, the same is probably true for DSL telephone companies. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to email those off to me or leave a phone message. And if you'd like to have your question included in the show, just let me know in your phone message and we can have your voice on there. Otherwise, I will just say a listener had this question or a caller had this question, and I'll just generically refer to what it is you had something that you wanted information on, and that will generally show up, you know, in the show. So I appreciate all of the likes, the comments, the shares, the follows. If you're wondering how you can subscribe to the show, here's how it works. So I'm using this Anchor podcasting app, and you can learn more about that at anchor.fm is the website. And so I record the show and upload it to the Anchor server, and then they distribute out the sort of general information about the show to Spotify and iTunes and Google Podcasts, etc. So when you're, you know, listening to the show on Spotify, Spotify doesn't really have the audio. They just have these directories of all the different podcasts that are out there. So you're using Spotify as your maybe favorite listening platform for music and podcasts, but the podcast itself needs to be hosted somewhere on a website, and that's why I'm choosing Anchor FM, because they have the nice app and they're free and they seem to work pretty well, and good company philosophy. So but that is to say, sorry for that elaborate explanation, is that basically you'll go to your favorite podcasting platform, you'll look for Walk and Talk with Greg Johnson, and you'll see, depending on the platform, there will be a way to subscribe to the podcast. And then when new episodes are released, they'll just kind of show up in your subscription area of your app. And that's about it for today's show. So thanks again for listening in, and look forward to sharing more with you soon. Take care.